Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He'll come to the sideline and tell me about him. I should have won that one. I could have won that one. I knew what they were going to give me, and I didn't take advantage of it. So, absolutely. So we point those out in real time, right on the spot. And he's a guy that is dying to learn and dying to get better because this is a little bit of a difference for him, a little change for him, right? Playing on a specific side of a defense and base and being asked to do some more things from a communication standpoint and a coverage standpoint, those are different. But the one thing I know is when he has a chance to go forward and the ball gets snapped, he should be able to do that. Shouldn't have to think his way through some of those rushes.
Welcome back on in to 670 The Score at 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak, hanging out here with Arthur Arkish for a couple more hours until 12 o'clock today. We're going to take you right up to the Bears pregame show here on The Score with Hub, Pat Manley, and Olin Krutz. And now we will go out to the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. There we find J.J. Stankovic. He covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and now he is with us. Good morning, J.J. What's going on, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. Actually, I'm doing great. I don't want to speak for Arthur. Arthur, how are you doing?
We're doing great, JJ. We appreciate you being with us this morning. It's the last one of these late afternoon kicks, and then maybe us on the beat will begin to feel some normalcy before this thing's all over.
Yeah, Arthur, my sleep schedule's been consistently ruined every week based on these game times. I realize that's not what anyone wants to hear.
First world problems. Boo-hoo.
Your schedule is ruined because you have to go cover football games. No one wants to hear that.
Yeah, we won't talk about any London jet lag or anything like that then for
no,
sure.
No.
JJ, we appreciate you coming on and joining us. An interesting game on the lakefront this afternoon, even if maybe it doesn't have the luster that we expected as recently as a couple days ago. Not exactly the Saints backfield we'd expect to see.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting how New Orleans handles not having Alvin Kamara out there. And not having Jared Cook, because, I mean, I was talking with Luke Johnson, who covers the Saints for NOLA.com out there, and he was saying that, you know, look, for as good as this offense has been with, you know, Breeze out, or I guess just as acceptable as this offense has been, this is a big challenge for them because, you know, Kamara and Cook are their two and three receivers, and you can keep feeding Michael Thomas all you want, but you have to figure the Bears will have a plan for making sure Michael Thomas does not beat them, given that they don't have to worry about Kamara or Cook. So how the Saints are able to scheme this up, you know, look, I think if Sean Payton can find a way to win this game, I would put him at the top of my list for Coach of the Year, just based off of almost this game and based on what he's done recently, of course. But it's going to be a challenge for the Saints, but, you know, the Bears can't certainly take it lightly because let's remember, the Oakland Raiders were without their number one receiver in London in Tyrell Williams, and they still were able to beat the Bears in that game.
Yeah, I think the Saints have proven that over the past month or so, it doesn't matter really who they lose. They're just going to keep on playing well, and part of that is because of their great defensive front. They will be matched up against a Bears offensive line today that has been underperforming, underwhelming, I think it's fair to say, so far this season, and now they've kind of had to play musical chairs a little bit there with some of the injuries that they face. What do you expect in terms of personnel and both performance today from the O-line, JJ?
Yeah, I think from the personnel standpoint, Kevin, I would expect you... Well, so I think this is more of an educated guess, but I asked Matt Nagy on Friday about if he'd be comfortable rotating Rashad Coward and Ted Larson at right guard. And he said, yeah, that's something that we would put under consideration, and it's something he'd be comfortable with if that's what Harry Hiestand wants to go with. I would not be shocked if they did that because Coward, just with his inexperience, I don't know if you trust him fully going into a game and saying, all right, you're the guy, where you do have a Ted Larson who has some experience there. But It's also worth noting that that Eric Kush, James Daniels rotation didn't really work too well last year. So I think the Bears have had some difficult things to talk through, some important things to talk through over the weekend with their offensive line. And I think you might see a rotation. I think whatever it is, I think you'll see some of Coward today at right guard. And for all the hoopla over Alex Barr's getting called up from the practice squad, he'll probably be inactive. But just from the overall level of play, I thought it was interesting talking to Harry Hiestand about some of these guys who have struggled. And, you know, specifically with Charles Leto and the penalties. You know, Harry was saying on Tuesday that, you know, if it were an effort thing, he would be disappointed. He would be frustrated, but it's not an effort thing. It is sort of a, you've got to just realize this is what officials are looking for. Even if you don't agree with it, you can't, you know, go out and kind of hook guys like Leno has been doing. Or you got to lower your target with your hands so they don't slip and you don't get a hands-to-the-face penalty. I think if Leno can cut down on the penalties, I would expect him to be fine at left tackle, just as he's been over the last couple of years. But they got to get more out of James Daniels. He's another guy, too, who has had some growing pains trying to settle in at center. He's got to be better going forward. I think those are the two guys you circle on this line and say, okay, the Bears need to get better play out of Leno and Daniels, as well as something out of the right guard position, and maybe that's the fix. But, you know, it's also that's easier said than done. I mean, this is, like you mentioned, it's a really good Saints front, and they're going to have their hands full with Marcus Davenport and Cam Jordan and all those guys.
JJ, who do you think will kind of need more help on those edges? You're talking about Marcus Davenport and everything he's been doing in recent weeks, probably likely to see a lot of Bobby Massey, and then Cam Jordan on the other end with Charles Leno, who the penalties obviously have been a huge problem. His pass pro, though, I don't think has been all that bad. I don't know if you share that assessment.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Arthur. His pass pro has been fine. He just hasn't really been run blocking the way he would like, and then the penalties have diminished him in pass pro. I think that's a really good question, though, because I would lean almost toward giving Massey the help there, even though, I mean, that might seem like a, you know, I'm not respecting Cam Jordan's level of play, because he's really good. But Marcus Davenport, I think, is third in the NFL in pass rushing productivity defined by PFF. So, you know, snaps per, or pressure per snap.
Right.
Or I think the way to put it is he's averaging one pressure every 13.8. snaps, which is really good. That, like, Khalil Mack is at like 12. So I think you probably need to give a little help on his side, because he's looking like that guy who we all saw down at the Senior Bowl in 2018, who were going like, man, this guy's got so much athleticism, so much raw talent, you know, he could turn into something, and he's starting to turn into that guy. But then again, if you do that, it is more of a, you just trust Leno to come out of the off week and say, okay, I'm good enough to do this. I can stop Cam Jordan and at least keep him out of the pocket. But the other issue, too, is that the Saints' interior rush is pretty good. I mean, Sheldon Rankins is having a good season. Almost every single one of those guys, Malcolm Brown, they have at least one sack in that interior of the Saints' defensive line. So, you know, even if Massey and Leno are keeping Davenport and Jordan in check, there's a chance that there's pressure in Trubisky's face because the Saints' interior of that defensive line is still so good.
Talking to JJ Stankovitz right now, covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at JJ Stankovitz. I'm Kevin Zipak here with Hub Arkish until 12 o'clock today. I can't believe that. Did I just call you Hub?
It's okay.
Hub's on at 12.
We're tailing how many times I get locked outside the Score bathroom, so we're just going to put one on Kevin's list here.
But I'm going to write Arthur on your forehead in like Sharpie.
This
so
is
I don't...
going great.
I've been called much worse today already, so we're all good. Thank you.
JJ, we would be remiss if we did not mention the quarterback, and I can't believe we've gotten this far into it without talking about Mitchell Trubisky. He is back today. Maybe a little bit banged up. Not sure if he's 100%, but where are you with Mitchell Trubisky in this offense, as obviously it's been very up and down over the last couple of seasons? And do you think that this long extended bye week, I guess you could call it, do you think that's going to be beneficial for him, not only for his health, but, understanding and getting into the flow of the offense as well?
Yeah, it's the most important question today, isn't it? Because if you look at last year, Mitch came off that first bye week, their true bye, and they didn't score a single point in the first half in Miami. It was a very slow start. then the, you know, the things kind of turned on in the second half and that game kind of went haywire. And then, you know, Mitch came off his shoulder injury last year against the Rams and played the worst game of his career. I mean, a 33.3 passer rating is literally the worst that he's ever had in his career. And I'm interested in how the Bears kind of manage Mitch's emotions, because that's something he admitted last year, that he was too amped up for that Rams game. He was trying to do too much. And I think Dave Ragone especially is going to have a really good pulse of Mitch Trubisky today and look for some of those triggers that maybe showed up last year in that Rams game that kind of led things to spiral. And obviously they wound up winning that game, but it was not a good day for Mitch. And I think today the Bears need to really closely monitor that, because if Mitch comes out there and he's trying to do too much, you know, he's liable to force a throw toward Marshawn Lattimore, where Lattimore is showing man and he's really in zone and he jumps the route and he picks it off. You know, that's the kind of thing that can happen with Mitch trying to do too much. I do think that from the standpoint of Mitch himself, I thought it was interesting how Ragone kind of framed Mitch's season as like, well, he is having steady incremental improvement. You know, look, from Green Bay to Denver to Washington, he got better in those three games. And you're kind of like, yeah, I mean, I guess if you're starting it at rock bottom and you slowly move your way up, that technically is incremental improvement, but it does not look like incremental improvement from last year. But, you know, I do think for Mitch today, the key for him is just going to be play within yourself and do your job. Because if he starts trying to go outside of a play and trying to make a huge throw or anything like that, this is a really solid Saints back end. With Lattimore and Marcus Williams, kind of the two guys there that can really make you pay. And I think he's going to have to understand that. He's going to have to know that. And this may be a game where it might look like the San Francisco game from last year, where Mitch maybe hit one downfield throw in that game, otherwise just kind of dinked and dunked all day and picked apart that defense in a 14-9 win. I think that's kind of the formula the Bears might need to take in this game. Low scoring, just don't turn the ball over, don't make any mistakes, and get out of here with a win.
And JJ, that sounds largely like what the Saints have been trying to do with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, I know he had four touchdowns a couple weeks back, but what they've been asking of him is clean play and let your defense do a lot of the work too. I realize the comparison I'm looking for isn't identical, but when you go back to that Washington performance in primetime, Mitch's best game of this young season, are there things that Matt Nagy maybe did differently that you think he can try and bottle up? Because I feel like Nagy probably could take a little bit more heat, too. We're all on Mitch, even though he hasn't played in a couple weeks. I think it's fair to say Nagy hasn't been at his best yet, and he hasn't found the identity of this offense yet. Did you feel like they were getting closer in that Washington game? And are there things, again, takeaways that they can apply here to try and get some productivity going?
I think the optimistic outlook there, Arthur, is that they got a pass catcher who wasn't named Allen Robinson involved. Taylor Gabriel obviously had that big game.
Right.
And, I mean, look, the identity of this offense was supposed to be to spread the ball around to a number of players and not be predictable. And right now, the only thing that they do well is get the ball to Allen Robinson, which can become predictable, as we saw at the end of the Packers game. So I think that, you know, that's kind of the optimistic outlook, that he was scheming some other guys open. The further optimistic look is that Anthony Miller really did need to cut off that shoulder harness, and that will help him play a little bit looser. But the pessimistic outlook is that, well, Matt Nagy can't do anything about playing a Saints defense that is light years more talented than Washington's defense,
right,
which is just awful. I mean, Mitch's best game came against a team that is just bereft of talent, and he still wound up throwing an interception in that game. That was one of those kind of like, oh man, what are you doing? And I think that the point for, you know, that you made, Arthur, about Nagy is 100% correct. He's got to do a better job scheming up run plays. And then they've got to do a better job getting the ball to Tariq Cohen in situations where he can make explosive plays with his feet. Because the fact that Tariq Cohen's averaging fewer yards per touch this year than he did in his rookie year when Dahl Loggins was designing the offense and calling the plays is a complete travesty. And I don't think it has anything to do with Tariq Cohen's skill set diminishing. He certainly is the explosive player that he has been for the last 2 years. They've just got to figure out a way to get him the ball and get him those shots with those explosive plays. And to me, that is the biggest thing that falls on Matt Nagy, is getting the ball to Tariq Cohen, whether it's run or pass, and get him a shot at making a big play.
How big do you think the loss of Akiem Hicks will be, not only today, but going forward for this team?
Yeah, it's going to be big, just because the Bears, you know, when they lost him against the Vikings, they knew he wasn't going to play. They were operating like he was not going to play that week. And it was kind of a galvanizing effect on that whole team. And, you know, give Akiem some credit, too, for being such a great presence in that building on the sideline, just bringing that sort of energy. And then you go to Oakland and you're thinking, you know, okay, this guy's going to play. And then, you know, on that first drive, he has that really gruesome elbow injury, and you lose him in that game. So you're down to four defensive linemen against a team that's semi-legally chop-blocking you the whole game. That was kind of a recipe for the D-line having its worst game of the year. But I do think that, you know, going forward, the Bears can sustain losing Akiem Hicks. They will not be better, certainly. They will not be as good on the defensive line without Akiem Hicks. This is a group that can rotate guys in and out, getting Bilal Nichols back, even if he's, you know, semi-limited with that hand, being in sort of a cast, I think will be a big boost. But, I mean, look, Akiem Hicks is one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. He's been one of the most durable defensive linemen in the NFL. If you look at snap counts, I think only DeForest Buckner, Leonard Williams, and Ndamukong Suh have played more snaps from 2016 to 2018 than Akiem Hicks among defensive linemen. So you're also losing a guy you could count on to play 80% of the defensive snaps in a given game. That is going to be a challenge for Jay Rogers and for Chuck Pagano. You know, do you say, okay, Eddie Goldman, you're in there for, you know, quite a few more plays, or do you have to be more kind of targeted with your rotations and say, okay, Nick Williams and Roy Robertson-Harris, you're our third down pass rushers. And Bilal Nichols and Eddie Goldman, you guys are in there and running downs, and just be really targeted with it to try to get the most out of this group, because you only had to do it with one position, really. You could always just leave Akiem Hicks on the field and know that he's going to be great against the run and great against the pass. So it is going to be a challenge for the Bears, and I do think that, in a way, New Orleans is okay as a trial balloon here, because they do have a good offensive line. That if this defensive line group can kind of get ahead of them and win some of their matchups, it'll be a nice little confidence boost for them. And then also you're not having to deal with Alvin Kamara. So I think this group is good enough to stop Latavius Murray if they can just kind of win a couple one-on-one matchups on the offensive line.
That's J.J. Stankiewicz of NBC Sports Chicago. Just another minute or two here to visit with J.J. And curious what you think of the linebackers behind him. And is there more of an onus now on Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan without that huge presence in front of them? And should that be concerning? I mean, we've seen them play brilliantly, but obviously there's been a little bit more mystery surrounding Roquan Smith the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, those guys play really well when Goldman and Hicks are taking on and beating double teams. You know, you have Goldman in there, you know, beating up, say the center and the left guard and just soaking in that pressure. And then Akiem Hicks going up against the right guard and just, you know, beating the heck out of that guy. Right. That's where Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan can play fast and they can play physical, because this defense is designed. They're not the biggest guys. I don't think they're guys who are going to thrive having to take on offensive linemen moving into the second level. Not that many inside linebackers will thrive in those situations, but I think, you know, it's going to need to be complimentary. They're going to need to be given the chances by Goldman and Nichols and Robertson-Harris and those guys to shoot some gaps, but they're also going to have to take advantage of it. And we haven't seen specifically Roquan Smith do that recently. You know, I think Danny Trevathan's been a really solid player, great at times this year. I'm not really worried about him, but the Bears do need to figure out how could they can get Roquan Smith back to playing at the level that he was at, or, you know, I think a lot of people thought he left last season at. Because, you know, there are these Pro Bowl expectations on him, All-Pro expectations, and those haven't quite been met yet. So, you know, I think the off week might be good for him to just kind of hit a little bit of a reset in terms of his play and figure out, you know, what he can do better, how he can play a little more aggressively, a little more physically, or maybe just play, you know, with a little more of an edge at times. I don't, you know, we'll see how that kind of plays out today. But I'm not super worried about the inside linebackers. There's so much talent lying in Roquan Smith. There's so much veteran experience and leadership lying in Danny Trevathan that I think those guys ultimately will wind up being fine.
JJ, thank you very much for joining us on the program today. We appreciate you. Before I let you go, though, I have to ask, I'm sure you watched Manchester City yesterday. Can you defend those green and orange abominations of a kit? Where do you stand on
those? They're great. Look, everyone can talk about how they look terrible
that.
But okay, but you know what? You're talking about them, so I think they won.
Okay, fair play. JJ, thanks again, man. Have a great day.
Thanks, JJ.
Thanks, guys.
That was the voice of JJ Stankovic. He covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter at JJ Stankovic. My name is Kevin Zipek. I'm here with Arthur Arkish.
There it is.
It's not Hub. Hub's going to be on the pregame show at 12 with Pat Manley and Olin Krutz. But until then, you've got Kevbo and Arthur Arkish, and we're here for you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is how you chime in via a text message. We're going to be here talking Bears all morning long, and we'll be back very shortly with more Bears talk here this morning on 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We walked up to him like, man, look at my elbow, man. Just look at my elbow. You know, it's like, oh, man, you're looking at his elbow, but he's not really showing, like, what you expect him to be showing off of what his elbow looks like. But that just shows you the type of guy he is. You know, he's a strong dude, man. He's a big guy, strong dude. And, you know, he has no negative thoughts in his mind. You know, even after the injury, you see a smile on his face. You know, he's still up. You know, his Keem is just being a king. You know, he's going to attack this injury, you know, how he attack anything else.
Welcome back on in to 670 The Score at 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here with Arthur Arkish until 12 o'clock this afternoon. We'll take you right up to The Score's Bears pregame show with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz. The guys today will be at Connie's Pizza, 2373 South Archer Avenue here in Chicago. On the way in there, you heard the voice of Bears safety Eddie Jackson. You can hear him weekly on both the Mully and Haw show and the McNeil and Parkin show as well. So thank you to Eddie for being a part of our Bears coverage this season here on The Score. Taking a look, Arthur, at the Bears schedule, because a lot was made when the schedule, well, it's always a big hullabaloo whenever the schedule comes out for the next NFL season. People, oh my God, they're going to win this game. They're going to lose this game. Oh, the schedule's out. But of course, you go 12-4, schedule is going to be harder. And the schedule this year is difficult. They're in a stretch right now versus New Orleans. Then they've got the Los Angeles Chargers, who have been a little underwhelming, I'd say, so far this season. But then you go to Philadelphia. You have the Lions here. And then you go back out to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. So it's a little bit of a murky point in the schedule right now. And evaluating who they've played and some of the games that they've lost, you know, losing at home to a divisional opponent in Green Bay the first week of the season, that's not good. You want to, of course, win every home game. And then losing to Oakland, who is one of the teams that you would have penciled in as a win before the season. You know, that's a game that you probably should have win. Do you think that the Bears at 3-2 right now, and Matt Nagy was very optimistic after the Oakland Raiders game about, hey, we were 3-2 last year. That's when we went on our big run. We feel good. We're fine. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel like they're in a good spot right now at 3-2?
Schedule-wise, I think they're fine. I mean, it's a week-to-week league. I mean, I know that's a cliche, but there's a reason that it's a well-worn cliche. And if nothing else, I've learned, I think the schedule gets released on like April 25th, that week every year. I don't even know if I'm going to write next year. I'm certainly not going to. I'm going to have to find something just more unique to come at it because again, I mean, we didn't know until 48 hours ago there would be no Alvin Kamara today.
Sure.
And, you know, the Chargers injuries, what they're dealing with next week, as JJ pointed out, not only were the Raiders without their top receiver in London, they were without their top offensive lineman and their top pick, the pass rusher, Cleveland Farrell. So you really never know what's going to happen. It's a league of attrition. Now, with all that being said, I think at 3-2, the Bears are in fine shape. You'd prefer to have that loss to an AFC opponent than, you know, one today, obviously, in conference, a game with bigger playoff implications potentially. So what concerns me a little bit is that I thought that both Mitch Trubisky and the offense would obviously be farther along at this point.
I think we all did.
Yeah. Yep. And now, as we talked about a little bit in the first hour, Mitch has to deal with something new in addition to just adjusting to how opponents have, you know, adapted to him after a year of film and still finding his way in this offense. Well, now he's got to see, you know, how do I feel with this harness on, and how can I make sure that getting hit on this left shoulder isn't in the back of my head for 3.5 hours today? So that'll be a challenge, something new for him. Not entirely new, I guess, fortunately, if you want to look at glasses half full. He has, you know, had to deal with an injury and how to come back with it and how to manage his emotions, which he didn't do so well last December in primetime versus the Rams. Bears still got a win. So, yeah, I think today's a huge one. I don't think there's any two ways about it. This is one the Bears, if they want to be taken seriously as heavyweight contenders in the NFC, you have to beat this banged-up Saints team today. I'm not calling it a must-win in Week 7 at 3-2, but I guess I kind of just did. The Bears really have to win a game like today the way it's set up for them.
And it's a tough division, too, man. You know, like we all pretty much knew that Green Bay would be better than they were last season. Minnesota is is a steady team with a really good defense and a good regular season quarterback. Once the playoffs start, Kirk Cousins turns back into a pumpkin, but he's a good regular season quarterback.
Yeah.
And Detroit, I think, has maybe surprised a little bit of people. The perennial doormat in the division, a loser franchise, as I like to affectionately refer to them as, but they have certainly impressed as well. So this is a borderline must-win game right now here in Week 7. You're right, it is wild to say that, but they have to first and foremost take care of business at home and keep pace in this division, because it's deep and, you know, it's going to be tough to get a playoff berth.
That's right. And if we're talking about scheduling quirks, we should point out that the Kansas City Chiefs' next two opponents are going to be the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. Patrick Mahomes won't be playing in those games. Pat Mahomes just led that game-winning drive versus Detroit a few weeks back for that win. And then, you know, obviously I want to say what they come here in like week 15. So the optimistic outlook is that the MVP will be back for that one. So if you're trying to kind of look at that injury specifically, because it's been as big as any in the NFL thus far.
Sure. MVP
well,
of the league.
Yeah. It appears that it's going to benefit the Vikings and the Packers a lot greater than it is the Bears and the Lions.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Every Sunday with the Chicago Wolves is a Little Debbie Sunday. Kids receive a giveaway at the door and get player autographs after the game. The Wolves host Milwaukee today at 3 p.m. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Phone number 312-644-6767. My name's Kevin Zipek. That is Arthur Arkish. We're hanging out talking Bears until 12 o'clock. Let's get out to Morris, Illinois right now and check in with Kevin, who wants to talk about Ryan Pace. Good morning, Kevin. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. So with Ryan Pace and a lot of his draft history as far as drafting up to get players that haven't worked out, as well as, you know, with Trubisky and then giving all that money to the offensive line that's looking to be a liability this year. If the Bears don't finish the year and meet expectations, and Trubisky is not what we thought he was, how long do you think Ryan Pace will get to right the ship?
Interesting question. I appreciate the call. Arthur, why don't you field that one first and foremost?
Yeah, I don't think that Pace's job is in jeopardy if the Bears don't make the playoffs. And frankly, even if Mitch doesn't, you know, he doesn't materialize the way the Bears fans are hoping this season as a competent guy who can, again, put a team on his back at times, if not consistently. Because that kind of ignores the fact that he's also built up this championship caliber defense. Now, the Bears obviously aren't as balanced yet as they need to be, and there have been some high profile misses. You mentioned, you know, trading up for Mitch, of course, and Leonard Floyd. We'll see what happens. He's theoretically in a contract year.
Kevin White.
I really don't put that one on Ryan Pace, though. No, not me personally.
Okay.
I don't think anyone can see those injuries coming.
Sure.
And I don't think anyone panned that pick at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And yeah, you can't predict injury, but that is one of his misses.
Shouldn't
you know,
be ignored.
Fair or yes. not. And then you look, you know, even past the first round, into the second and third round, when there's been misses like Adam Shaheen, Jonathan Bullard, Hronis Grasu,
right,
was a terrible pick in the third round. So you do have to kind of look at both sides of the coin with Ryan Pace. You're absolutely right. He has put together arguably the best defense in the NFL, but not every general manager is perfect, and there have been a considerable amount of swings and misses from Pace as well. You have to talk about both sides of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No one bats 1,000, and Pace does have, again, some the quarterback position and the tight end position have become a little bit, you know, not little, large thorns in the side of Ryan Pace right now.
And look at what Trey Burton has done or not done this season, and that's another big money contract that they doled out in free agency that they haven't hit on.
Hugely disappointing. Yeah, remember, Pace's first sort of... his first foray into addressing the tight end position was trading Martellus Bennett, and then he signed Deion Sims, gave him a contract that some wondered about at the time. A few weeks later, he drafts Adam Shaheen with the 45th overall pick. The jury is returned, you know, is back, or it's about to be on Adam Shaheen, unfortunately.
I don't think he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, so that position's been a problem for him. I thought Trey Burton was fine last year, and his production was okay.
No, I think he had a good season last year, but...
He still got over... I mean, it's 4 years, $32 million. At the time, sure. Everyone said, all right, a career backup, and he is being paid like he's about to be a Pro Bowler, and actually, I want to say he was a Pro Bowl alternate, but...
Who isn't a Pro Bowl alternate?
Yeah, that's exactly. Great point.
Trubisky was a Pro Bowl alternate last season.
Exactly. So we'll see. Yeah, those are a couple positions that need to get sorted out. Of course, when you're talking about the quarterback, it's a little bit important. So
just a tad.
What happens next? And that was kind of what I was hinting at. You don't want to... Mitch can really still accomplish a ton over these next couple months. You'd be amazed how quickly things can change in this league. Now, you guys wouldn't be amazed because you all know, you watch, but... beyond that, there has to be one focus on the future and just kind of starting to think about what you might be doing there. Because I don't think Chase Daniel is likely to be back next year. I think that the window probably closed where you have to have that luxury of like the highest paid or second highest paid veteran slash coach on the field for your young quarterback. I love Chase. I'm a Mizzou guy. You know, it's all respect.
Hey, all respect. I mean, listen, when a guy hangs around the league for that
impressive.
Long, it is very impressive.
Yes, and he does a nice job in spells, and then he gets exposed when he's out there a little bit too long. So anyway, getting back to the main point, is Pace likely is going to have another a couple big quarterback decisions looming regardless of what happens here with Mitch, and he kind of backs himself into a corner when you don't draft one in the first, I want to say, 3 years. And then you go back-to-back with Glenn and Mitch. Remember, it was Pace who got here and said, I'm from the Ron Wolf school of thought. I really like to draft one every year.
I think about that quote a lot.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Right. And so, again, now his back's a little bit more against the wall than you would think because of that.
Phone number is 312-644-6767. Taking your Bears phone calls until 12 o'clock. My name's Kevin Zipak. That is Arthur Arkish. We're here until noon, but I'm not done. After that, I'm going to be at Durbin's in Midlothian from 3 to 6 today. You can join me and Miller Lite at Durbin's for a 1970s-themed Bears viewing party. Stop in from 3 to 6 to meet me, win prizes, and watch the Bears take on New Orleans. Cheers to 100 years with Miller Lite. I don't know how much 70s gear I have. I'm sure I have a Rolling Stones or a Led Zeppelin t-shirt in my closet somewhere that I can pull out. That works, right? I mean, that's...
I don't see why not.
I've got an Afro wig at home if you want to borrow that.
I'm not going to do that. I don't like to cover up my hair because I have such nice hair. So I don't like to, you know, keep it under wraps.
That's
or
fair.
Anything.
Yeah. That's fair.
Shame you guys can't see Kevin's haircut here in the studio right now.
Yeah, we should be on... I mean, they're... God bless America. There are a ton of cameras in here.
It probably looked great before the whole stocking cap started out the morning. I know how that can go. I'm going to have the headphones on for 3 hours, and then I got to go to Soldier Field with like the headphone.
Oh, hair is a real problem in the radio business. There is just always like a crunch on top of my cranium. And that's
why I always wear a hat when I'm here.
Is that why?
We used to have
like the real cool long hair. I was I stopped liking you when you got a haircut.
Oh, you did?
And I still don't like you.
I'll grow it out again.
Okay.
I had to grow it out to maintain your friendship.
That's right. Absolutely. But you're doing a great job. Adam Studzinski.
Seasoned veterans here.
Thank you very much. 312-644-6767. The phone number once again. Kevin Zipak, Arthur Arkish here until noon today on The Score.
It's different because it's not my throwing shoulder. And that's why I thought I might be able to go back in, because I'm like, oh, it's just my left arm. Maybe I could just catch a snap and be able to do all the handoffs and stuff and be able to throw. But I really couldn't move it. And so if what happened to this left shoulder, what happened to my right, we might be in a different situation. But it feels pretty good right now. So I'm going to go out there and practice. And if I can go, then it came back really quickly. So I'm pleased by the progress we made.
Welcome back into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here with Arthur Arkush this morning until 12 o'clock. Yeah, it's kind of an unofficial Bears pre-game, because the actual pregame starts at 12 o'clock with Hub, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz there at Connie's Pizza, 2373 South Archer Avenue. The voice, of course, on the way in there was Mitchell Trubisky talking about his shoulder injury and kind of how that all went down versus the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, he missed the game in London versus the Oakland Raiders, and he is back today. I want to ask you a couple questions about Mitch here shortly, Arthur, but I do have a little bit of Cubs news to pass along here. This just came across Twitter via Mark Feinsand of MLB.com. Joe Espada is on his way to Chicago for a second managerial interview with the Cubs. Per a source, the Cubs were clearly impressed with what they had heard last week from the Astros bench coach. Are you a Cubs fan?
I am a huge Cubs fan.
Are you team Joe Espada or team David Ross?
I'm a huge Cubs fan. I'm not someone who can talk like super knowledgeably about it, but I like the idea of going outside Theo and Jed and those guys going outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And to me, that certainly would seem to be Espada. How long have we been hearing about David Ross? So
exactly.
That part of it does excite me. And in a second interview, it can't be bad news for him, obviously.
I think anybody involved with the Astros organization is probably a good bet.
Good
because
point.
They are a juggernaut, and they are on the verge of, you know, we're going to be using the dynasty word perhaps if they beat the Nationals. In case you missed it, the Astros last night defeated the Yankees, a Jose Altuve walk-off home run to send them to the World Series. But we are talking Bears this morning. We're talking about Mitchell Trubisky. One of his assets, his athleticism, his ability to be mobile and run out of the pocket and get chunk yardage with his legs, sometimes more effective with the legs than he is with the arm.
Right.
But with the shoulder injury and maybe having that in the back of his mind, you know, wanting to shy away from contact a little bit, you know, no quarterback really loves getting hit.
Right.
But especially when you're nursing an injury, it might also throw a wrench into the spokes a little bit. Do you think that with the shoulder injury, with Mitch coming back now, his first game back since injuring the shoulder, do you think that's going to affect him physically, mentally, how he plays? Do you think that's going to have any variance on what he does under center?
I think it's only natural that it does a little bit. I think it's important to point out, first of all, that Matt Nagy told us during the week that it shouldn't be a part of the consideration, that if Mitch is cleared medically and physically he's okay to go, then the expectation from his head coach is that he's going to go out there and be the quarterback that he always is, you know, healthy without an injury being part of the equation. So that being said, again, you got these big, fast dudes running after you and trying to injure you. And if you're already dealing with some type of limitation, I just think it's normal that would be in the back of your head. It's also, to me, really key to point out, Mitch Trubisky's a quarterback, and some of his throwing deficiencies obviously have been as disappointing as anything thus far this season, but he has not been running. By this point last year, he was already starting to kind of assert himself as one of the more dynamic scrambling quarterbacks in the league. I think he finished last year ranked number 4, number 5 among all players at his position in rushing yards. Mitch had not been running even prior to the injury, so if he's suddenly going to kind of get into the mode he was in last year, then that would be pretty far off from where he was even prior to the bye. I think we could still be a few weeks out from that. But I do think that that's something that's been hurting the Bears offense. There's no doubt. Mitch was killing defenses on third down with his legs last year. And that element has been missing thus far this season. Once again, Matt Nagy was asked about that. He said it's certainly not for lack of desire on the coaching staff's part to get Mitch out of the pocket and making plays. But when you're doing that, you obviously have to be, you know, judicious with it.
Do you, you know, as somebody who covers the team, you're around there all the time. Do you feel Matt Nagy this year has become maybe more
terse with the media? It's a little bit more curmudgeonly, perhaps, for lack of a better word. Have you noticed any kind of shift? Because I'm not covering the team like you, but I hear him, obviously, and I'm following it very closely. It seems almost like he's shifted slightly in terms of his personality.
I would say ever so slightly. I don't know if terse is an okay word, but we have to understand how far he came from as one of the more receptive and open and frankly just refreshing coaches to deal with throughout his maiden voyage last year.
Especially after John Fox, who was a notorious...
Right.
So-and-so.
Light years, yes. So, yeah, it's been a little bit different, but then keep in mind what he has been having to discuss, and it's key injuries that, frankly, he never really had to discuss last year. It's, you know, and some of them have been pretty uncomfortable. Again, the whole Kyle Long situation, the whole, not really comparable, but Eddie Pinheiro's knee deal when you're just getting over having to answer questions about the kicker's performance, and then there's a little knee tweak. So I think the nature of the questions have been a part of it. But yes, he's been a little bit more mysterious on the injury front specifically, I would say. And then I think, he's as anxious as anyone to get this offense going at this point. So it all dials back to, I think, he's got to do a little bit more too. We're going to talk about Mitch and all the rest of the guys that need to step up. And I think that conversation starts with Matt Nagy. He said as much with him right after the game in London.
Yeah, absolutely. A ton still that we have to get into today regarding this Bears Saints game, which is coming up at 3:25 this afternoon. Up next, we are going to bring in Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. We'll talk a little Bears with him and a little national NFL too, as we kind of take a look at some of the other comings and goings in a full-fledged football Sunday here today. The phone number is 312-644-6767. My name is Kevin Zipak. That is Arthur Arkish. Hanging out for another hour today, taking you up to our Bears pregame coverage here on The Score, featuring Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz there out at Connie's Pizza, 2373 South Archer Avenue today. Up next, once again, we will bring in Eric Edholm, and we will talk lots of gridiron football with a very talented man. My name's Kevin Zifek. That's Arthur Arkish. We're back very shortly here on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.